But let's kick things off with Amber Ruffin. Amber is a comedy writer and a comedian. She's worked on Late Night with Seth Meyers since 2014. When she got that gig, she made history. She became the first Black woman to write for an American Late Night Network talk show. Amber is the co-creator of the popular segments Jokes Seth Can't Tell and Amber Says What? We talked about her pioneering work for Late Night, her passion for writing musicals, and her audition for Saturday Night Live.
I know that a lot of people just did stand-up, but I was told to do three characters you made up and three impressions. And I did trying to put Janelle Monáe to bed and a Somalian sommelier.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Can you do a bit of that or not? Or is it too hard?
I will absolutely not.
Okay, all right. Can't blame me for asking. That's great. I love that. So the Somalian sommelier, yeah, that's great. Were you happy with how the audition went?
I was very happy with it. I thought I did a great job. But, I mean, I kind of have that, kind of outlook on everything.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I did great.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't good enough.
Yeah. So, how did you feel when you got the phone call that you didn't get the gig?
Dude, when they told me I didn't get it, I was shocked. I just really thought I was going to get it, and it is so funny because that was kind of how I found out that I was a very cocky person.
Yeah.
To think that I was so shocked. I thought for sure I had it, which is great because I needed to be taken down a peg, and now I'm perfectly normal.
Why do you think you needed to be taken down a peg? Because you were so cocky?
I was.
Yeah.
I really was. I really thought I had it. I don't know what my problem was. I think, I had over-prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so comfortable.
Yeah, you put so much blood, sweat, and tears and angst into it, so much stuff into it that you. But then a short while later, it kind of ended up being a good thing that you didn't get the SNL gig because you got a phone call from Seth Meyers. Tell me about that.
And I think it was 2 days later that Seth called and offered me the job, but he called so quickly after that I thought he was calling to say, I'm sorry you didn't get SNL.
Yeah.
So I kept saying, he didn't have to call, man.
Yeah.
But he was trying to offer me a job.
And the gig, of course, was as a writer for his late night talk show. So you made history when you accepted this gig. You became the first Black woman to write for a late night network talk show in America. What did that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
It never occurred to me that I would ever be a first to anything.
Mm.
But, it's so cool. You forget how recent all of our nation's atrocities are until there's the next person who's like the first Black anything. You're like, oh yeah, everything was a minute ago, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll talk to my mom, about voting. You know, she couldn't always vote. And my dad couldn't always eat everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really think about that. Until something like that happens, then you're like, oh, yes, that was just 1 minute ago.
Yeah. Do you feel a lot of pressure to serve as a role model and a trailblazer because of the fact that you're this historic first?
No, absolutely not. I would if the job wasn't to act a fool.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to literally act a fool. So there is no real wrong way you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I could be like, you know what? I love cops and I think they act justly. I suppose I could, I could do things that way.
Yeah.
But I'm just so not that type of person that I feel pretty good.
Yeah. I find that interesting that you use that phrase, your job description is to literally act a fool. What do you mean by that?
I mean, if it makes you giggle while you're doing it, it's probably good for the show.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Like that story of Permit Patty, I think they called her, that white woman who called the cops on that child for selling water.
Yeah, came on the with heels a license,
of Barbecue Becky, who called the cops on those people for barbecuing.
Yeah.
So I wrote a goofy version of Rockwell's Someone's Watching Me. That, I feel like, you know, while, you know, Jenny dressed as Barbecue Becky and Allie dressed as Permit Patty dance around. And I feel like that's the silliest thing I could possibly think of.
When I'm at a barbecue, even in a public place, I break into a sweat when Becky looks me in the face. She says she's on the phone. Will her staring ever stop? Does she want to do me in or does she want my pork chops? When I'm selling water for a trip to Disneyland, Patty says I need a permit, unlike a white kid's lemonade stand. People say I'm crazy, a little touched in the brain. But if you ask me, it's these white women who are insane, because I always feel like white women watching me. And I got no privacy. Oh, I always feel like white women watching me. And I got no privacy. Oh,
yeah, of course. And of course, you not only write for Late Night with Seth Meyers, you also appear on the show. And one of your recurring segments is Jokes Seth Can't Tell. This is a segment that you do with your, you perform with your fellow writer, Jenny Hagel. What's the origin story of Jokes Seth Can't Tell?
Jokes Seth Can't Tell came about through Jenny. It was 100% her idea. She came to me with the idea. We wrote it up. And every Thursday, we have a sketch read where you just write up whatever's in your heart, and we read it as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote that up, and everyone laughed, and we thought, oh, that's nice. This is something me and my friends can laugh about. This can never go on the show. Mm-hmm. And then it went on the show, and we thought, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it made it this far. Oh, well, this was very fun. We'll certainly never do it again. And then we have done it, like, 20 times or something now.
So here's how this works. I'll read the setups for these jokes, and Amber and Jenny will read the punchlines. Here goes. Starbucks recently hired its first black female COO.
Or as her coworkers call her, Venti Coco Mochaccino.
A rare white lobster was caught recently in the Gulf of Maine.
But since it was white, it got to live.
And we're still kind of learning. Every once in a while, we'll pitch a joke, and Seth will be like, you can try it if you want. I do not think it's going to hit. And he's never been wrong. You forget he's done it for a million years.
Yeah.
You know, he knows.
I've read that both you and your fellow writer, Jenny Hagel, are continually shocked by what you're able to get away with saying, especially political stuff.
Every day, I am freshly shocked. I cannot believe they let us behave this way. Like, it's twofold. I cannot believe people are down for the amount of silliness mm-hmm. that I'm putting on display. And mm-hmm. I cannot believe that they will let us talk about such touchy, important, scary issues. But they're really, you know, at the end of the day, I'm, you know, dressing up as Rockwell singing about white women calling the cops on people. You know, it's mm-hmm. just like none of this should be okay. But because we are all being continually gaslit in this country, you have to have a release. And so because that is so necessary, because we are all so amped up over these very scary things,
mm-hmm.
it means that our comedians can go even further and say even crazier things. It's kind of like what we need.
Yeah. You also have this very funny recurring segment you do called Amber Says What? How did this feature come about?
Mm-hmm. I wrote it about, I guess, the Winter Olympics,
mm-hmm.
but I just, again, thought that it would just be that one thing. And I pitched that, and we all laughed, and that ended up on the show.
You guys, the Olympics were crazy. Okay, first of all, USA won its first cross-country skiing gold, and I was like, what? Then we won the gold in women's hockey, and everyone was like, what? Then 17-year-old Red Gerard overslept, lost his coat, began in last place, and ended up winning the gold for snowboarding, and everyone was like, what? But he's a snowboarder, so he was like, what? Then I saw curling, and I was like, what is this sport? And why am I so drawn to it? Then I found out a Russian curler was doping and was like, what? Why? Did you get bored?
It's really amazing how many different ways you are able to say what. And the different different ways you say it can convey so many different emotions and meanings. Could you give us a little bit of a demonstration, kind of a supercut sizzle reel, just of all the different whats, you know, the way you say them?
Oh, there's a million different ones. There's the classic what, which is my favorite, like, quite understated what. But yeah. Then there's also what, like yeah. The loud one. But yeah. Then there's also just your classic what, where yeah. It's just, what has happened? What are the rules anymore? And then there's the fun, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's more like, hooray.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are a million different whats to be whatted.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not out of what.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite segment, I think, I like love everything you've done, but I think my favorite thing that you've done so far on Seth's show is Amber's Late Night Safe Space. How did this one come about?
It was a piece where I told Seth how frustrated I was with the world and how I needed a safe space to be in where people wouldn't ask me about how I felt about, you know, dying black children and people touching my hair, and, you know, where I could just have a second.
Being black in America is tough, and people shouldn't be afraid to take the time they need to stay strong.
So now that we're here, are you upset about... I mean, why can't I say it?
This is my safe space. It won't let you say it. There's a lot of things you can't do in here. Here, try to touch my hair.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. Margarita?
Yeah. Are margaritas a black thing?
No. Margaritas are an amber thing. Not all black people have the same safe space, and not everything in here is a black thing. Look, here's a coaster of Chris Evans.
That's Chris Pine.
Chris something, he's cute.
I think it may be the most socially relevant and most powerful piece you've done on the show. I especially love the part where you tell Seth that not all black people have the same space and that not everything in here is a black thing. And then there's also that great exchange where Seth says he'd like to have his own safe space, and you tell him,
Seth, you're white. You have a safe space. It's called America.
What kind of feedback have you got from people about this?
Usually it's just regular folks being like, thank you for that. I didn't know that, or thank goodness someone else also feels that way. It's mm-hmm. usually one of those three.
Yeah, yeah. In a recent interview, Seth Meyers was asked about a group of six female comedians, and your name was one of them, and the interviewer asked Seth if he was to be replaced by any of them, who would he choose? And his response was, oh, my God, I would love to be replaced by Amber. So I'm wondering, would you like to host your own late-night talk show?
I mean, gosh, yeah, I don't know. I just rewrote The Wiz.
Mm. Oh, wow.
For a production at the Muni, mm-hmm. Which is a big theater in St. Louis. I also wrote another musical with my friend Kevin Serretta, and it is called Bigfoot. And it is about Bigfoot. It's just like the cutest little show. And it's this, you know, very fast-paced, very silly musical mm-hmm. that ended up being timely because, you know, the town that Bigfoot came from, he's just a hairy person.
Yeah.
And he came from a town that blames all of its woes on him.
Mm.
So they force him to leave the town.
Right, but, he's become a scapegoat.
Like
yeah.
2 years ago before cool. any of this happened.
Yeah, so where...
So, like, it's just accidentally on time right now.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd love to see that. So,
yeah.
So talking about one of the many other things that Amber Ruffin is working on, you sold a show to NBC called Going Dutch. Can you tell me a bit about that?
I did. I can tell you the most important thing about it is that NBC passed on it.
Oh.
So I did that this year.
Yeah.
I pitched them Going Dutch, a show about me and my Dutch husband and how crazy he is. He's not crazy. He's fine. And then the year before that, I pitched them a show about a black family who was famous in the 80s, like a sibling singing group.
Oh, cool.
And I passed on that. This year, I'll pitch them something that is even less likely for them to make.
Okay.
You know, we'll see how it
pans out. So maybe that's the one that they'll green light.
That would be insane.
You're originally from one of Peyton Manning's favorite cities, Omaha, Nebraska. How do you think growing up in Omaha has influenced the way you look at the world and your comedy?
Growing up in Omaha, for me, meant growing up around a lot of white people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't get a lot of chances to be black in black spaces, and it is so important. But, you know, now I'm an adult, and I make my own dang black spaces. And, like, there is a community of us.
That's great.
That's the good thing is that I used to be alone.
Yeah.
The kind of good slash bad thing is now there's, like, 12 of us.
That's great.
And we all have each other's number, and we all can hang out and go to dinner. And it's, you know, there should be more of us, but this is a very cool time to be a part of this little clique we have going. It's pretty great.
That's awesome, yeah. Final question, Amber. How important is it for you, for your comedy, to be topical and socially relevant in addition to being funny? How important is the social relevance of your comedy?
I mean, what is important to me about my comedy is, about my comedy on Late Night with Seth Meyers, is that it is about what we are thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is my favorite amount of fun.
Mm.
So, like, I'm just like, where do those two things meet? And that's where I always want to be, at maximum fun and maximum goof.
Amber Ruffin is a writer and performer on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Find out more about Amber at WPR.org/beta. And if you'd like to let us know what you think of the show, you can send an email to beta@WPR.org.